Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, Mr. Minko.
I'm here to rescue you again.
I thought you were here to celebrate my birthday.
Happy birthday, Bond.
What?
That is, well, you
you've been
that.
Here for several hours. This is the first time you're actually saying this to me.
Oh. And all the folks will get a chance as well here in the next 55 minutes.
Aye, aye, aye. Yes.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to the Empire. Because the Empire celebrates a birthday every day.
The Empire will celebrate a big birthday, as you know, at the end of this year. More on that in December when you are back with us.
That's right. I'll be back.
And more on this radio.com a little bit later in this hour, too, as a matter of fact. We have quite the program with you this morning. I'm Bob Salter, and I'm very pleased that joining us for our program today, we're on from 6 to 7 on Sunday morning, is Charles Colin. Charles has an interesting background. He is someone who is familiar with a term that has become part of our vocabulary in this country on a daily basis for a lot of people. And that term is bullying. He has become an advocate for a number of approaches to the topic in the area of tolerance, kindness. We're going to be talking about that. But also in his background, he is someone who was bullied, and he's going to share an awful lot with us over the course of this hour of our program this morning. Charles, first of all, good morning. It's nice to have you join us here on The Family.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I say that term bullying to you. What's your reaction?
My reaction is a flashback to the pain and suffering that I went through for 5 years back in through fifth grade all the way through eighth grade.
Mm. How intense did it get?
Well, it got to the point where on some days it wouldn't be as bad. On other days I would have 23 kids come up to me and tell me how worthless I am, how I should go kill myself. And you know, when it gets to a big point, it's really soul-crushing and destroying.
Mm. So when this first started happening, what was going through your mind?
What was first going through my mind was why me? Mm-hmm. Is there something wrong with me? Am I doing something that's making everyone not like me? It just seemed odd to me because they had singled me out and picked me out of a crowd of other people. And I mean, there were so many other kids that this could have happened to, and it happened to me. And so it was just a confusion. I was very upset, and you really don't know where to turn when you have a mass of people going against you.
So where did you turn?
Well, I tried to turn to the faculty, and although they were very sympathetic, there was nothing that they could do. The bullies hid their bullying very well. It wasn't physical; it was emotional and verbal, and because of that, a lot of it was outside of school as well. And there was nothing that the school could really do. So I had to try to turn to my family, and unfortunately, although they were of amazing help, that only goes so far.
Mm. And when bullying is not on a physical basis, it's not being done in that fashion, is that a harder thing for some people to grasp exactly what's taking place?
Well, it's a lot more vague in terms of what kids are doing to you that's setting you off, and how they're poking fun at you. When people think of bullying, they often think of tripping someone in the hallway or shoving them into a locker. My bullying was, everyone can come to my house, well, except for you, Charles. My bullying was, invite me out into town to hang out and not have anyone show up. It was, go with someone to the mall, turn my back, and they've already left. It was, in the hallway, them saying cruel and insensitive things to me when the faculty wasn't around. And that is a lot harder to catch than something that can leave physical evidence on someone, such as a bruise or a broken bone.
And the other thing is, I mean, relatively speaking, you're young as all of this is happening. So this is taking place as part of your maturing into the world, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very difficult time for me, especially being a fifth grader coming into a new town. I had just moved from New York to Connecticut, and everyone sort of had their cliques. Everyone had known each other since the first grade onwards, and they already knew who their friend group was, and it was tough to try to get assimilated into that new culture. And because of that, I was sort of seen as an outcast, and that sort of expanded from there. And it just became worse and worse and worse until eventually I had to switch schools.
In this day and age when technology rules so much of what we do and how we do it, and here we're also talking about things like the impact of social media, I mean, is that changing the impact and, to some extent, the power that bullying can have?
Well, social media is a very powerful thing in our country right now. It's always a matter of perspective. Social media can be a blessing or it could be a curse. It just depends on how you use it. If you use it for the good, it's an amazing way to spread ideas. It's an amazing way to spread kindness and positive energy. You can really get a lot of people together and make a lot of really amazing things through social media. But if you use it for the bad, and if you use it negatively, of course it can spread bullying even faster. And when you're in front of a computer screen, it sort of gives you a sense of confidence, like you're hiding behind a mask, like you're not actually talking to someone, and what you're saying isn't actually going to be seen by someone else. It's a lot easier to say something bad and to bully someone over a screen than it is in person.
So how did things turn around for you?
Well, through my persistence, I was able to overcome it. A big part of that was, ever since I was born, I've had a sense of confidence in myself. I've had a sense of self-worth. And my story is something unlike someone else of bullying, you know, another bullying victim has gone through because of my sense of confidence. So I was born a surviving triplet. That means that I had three brothers, three other brothers that were alongside me, and two of them didn't make it. I was the only one to survive. I had a low survival chance, and I beat the odds. And so from there, I've always known that I've had a lot, that I have a purpose. And that gave me a sense of confidence in myself. And so that was able to push me through. That's something that a lot of bullying victims don't have. And because of that, the bullying crushes them. And due to my experience, I didn't have the chance to do that.
But when you're going through the kind of experience that you were at such a young age, did that impact have any impact on your schoolwork as well?
My schoolwork, it was difficult when I had to partner up with those kids in class, mm-hmm. of course. I mean, it led to a lot of really bad situations. In terms of schoolwork, it affected it minimally. I sort of I was really headstrong in terms of finishing everything and making sure that I did a good job and meeting with teachers. It was mainly my social and my emotional life. I think it just played a big role in when I came home and when I had to go to bed at night, not knowing who I could talk to, not knowing who my friends were and where I could go next.
Mm. Tell us about this trip to Washington that took place this summer. You made this with your parents.
Yes. So once I switched schools I switched out of my public school to Greens Farms Academy in Westport, and it really was life-changing. The community accepted me for who I was. They were there with open arms for me, and they wanted to do everything they could to help, and that boosted my confidence to the level where I said, well, I survived bullying, and I want to make sure that this doesn't happen to anyone else if I can help it. And so I browsed. I was looking for bullying campaigns, and I ran across PACER, which is a bullying prevention center in Minnesota. They sort of coined Unity Day, and I, with their permission, through talking to them, they said, you can go ahead and run with this. I'll give you the green light. So from there, I met with a local representative. His name is Fred Camillo from Greenwich, Connecticut, where I live, and he helped me get in touch with Senator Blumenthal. And from there, I was able to email 20 different offices of Congress and Senate, and through there, I was able to go in. They loved my cause. They wanted to hear more about it, and so we took the trip down to Washington, and I met with all 20 of the offices.
Okay. Now, I tend to naturally be skeptical in situations like this where someone says they've met with members of Congress or elected officials. What was the reaction like?
They couldn't have been more supportive. They really thought that this cause was something that the country really needed. I made it a big point to make this bipartisan because that's what Unity Day is all about. It's about coming together for tolerance, kindness, and respect. It's about respecting other people's viewpoints. It's about coming together for each other's differences. And so both parties were extremely supportive of Unity Day, and that's exactly what I needed to happen.
And when you say extremely supportive, in what way, how is this going to play out?
They wanted to progress it to the point where, through meeting with them, I was able to work with Senator Blumenthal to write a national resolution for a day of unity. So we had been working on this for a while, and eventually, through a lot of hard work, a lot of emails back and forth, a lot of talking over the phone and meetings, we were able to get a draft of a resolution back, which he sent to me, and I actually was able to edit this national resolution in my bedroom that would soon be introduced onto the Senate floor to be voted. On top of that, I got this introduced. Someone's going to be introducing this into the House. It would be Congressman Tom Emmer from Minnesota. So this is, we now have a bipartisan support and bipartisan legislature in both the Senate and the House of Representatives.
Now, this Wednesday, which is the 23rd, the plans are for that to be Unity Day. Is that right?
Yes.
What will that actually mean that day?
Well, on that day, everyone, like I said, everyone comes together for tolerance, kindness, and respect. So what that day looks like is there's a lot of activities that have to do with coming together, such as we have a pumpkin carving event where you're paired up with people who you don't know very well, and you just have to talk while you carve a pumpkin, and it has to do with art and listening to each other's ideas. There's a big seminar event where everyone comes out. they have their various different art forms, such as they would write a song or write a poem. Some people speak. I know last year when I introduced this, there was a lot of powerful speakers, including a teacher that came out and said, well, when I was a kid, I was the bully, and here's where I was coming from. And now that I've realized the error of my ways, I've decided that I wanted to spend my life preventing this as a teacher.
Hmm. All right, I want to talk more about Unity Day. We'll also talk about your website and some other areas where we're going in discussion. We're just started in our chat with Charles Colin on our program, talking with him. He's with us for our entire hour this Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning on The Fan. Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Salter on our program this morning. We're going to talk about the topic of bullying, and an interesting guest has joined us for our program this morning. You know, as a matter of fact, too, the other thing I didn't mention earlier in this discussion, sometimes people who are listening to us want to join in the discussion, maybe somebody who's they themselves have been involved in having someone bully them in their lifetime, or you're perhaps touched by some of the words that Charles is sharing with us. You can join us on our program today. 877-337-6666 is our number here at The Fan. Your website, tell us a little bit about the site and why you did it.
Sure. So I wanted to make sure that everyone could see it and make sure that they know what Unity Day is and they can go to one place and get all the information they need. So my website is unitychallenge.org. That's unitychallenge.org. And on this website, it gives information on what Unity Day is, my work, and what I've done with it, why I've started the campaign, as well as a social media challenge called the Unity Challenge. So in this challenge, you pick one of the words, one of the themes of Unity Day, that being tolerance, kindness, and respect, and you write that on your hand and post a selfie on your social media account. And there's also an optional video that you can do that explains why you chose that word and what that word means to you. And what this shows is your commitment to implementing one of these themes in your life and helping prevent both bullying and being respectful and kind to others.
You know, one thing that has struck me throughout our discussion today, and I'm sure some of the folks listening to us may be thinking the same thing, you're from a generation that has grown up or is growing up, if I can phrase it that way, in a culture where there's an awful lot of intolerance. Hate speech pretty much occurs on a daily basis. And to a large extent, there people just have a certain lack of respect for one another. Do you find that demoralizing?
Of course. And I think that it's something that definitely needs to be stopped. What sets Unity Day apart from any other anti-bullying day comes with the word anti. With just a regular anti-bullying day, it creates a negative energy because people are coming together against something. And when people are coming together against something, it creates an environment where everyone points the finger at each other, calling each other the bully, looking out for the victim, looking out for the bad behavior, and that isn't really productive. With Unity Day, everyone's coming together for something. Everyone is coming together for tolerance, for kindness, and for respect. And with that, the negative behavior of the bullies is filtered out through the positive energy, and everyone is left with something to learn. I think that tolerance, kindness, and respect, and respecting other people's viewpoints is something that if we could all come together and do, it would make the world a much better place.
And as you say that, I also think back to what you mentioned, the very first portion of our discussion, where you're talking about this idea of going to Washington, speaking to elected officials. And you said it was important to you that this effort be bipartisan. Why?
Well, because there's a lot of fighting going on in our country on both sides. Both sides are extremely intolerant of each other. Both sides are are not listening to what each other has to say. And with a lack of respect, it's not going to be possible to do anything. It's not going to be possible to come together. One of my favorite presidents, Abraham Lincoln, once said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." And well, we're pushing towards a house that's dividing against itself because everyone is not listening to each other. They don't care about what everyone has to say. And I think someone has to be there to listen and mediate rather than just talk and fight.
You used a very key word that many people forget and do not do on a regular basis, and that is this whole idea of listening. Because listening can very often key in on what somebody is really saying versus what you perceive them to be saying. And I think that's where a lot of people drop the ball in terms of really paying attention to what's going on. Social media and the approach of the social media challenge. I think I know the answer to this, but why is it important to take the approach that you're suggesting?
Well, like I said before, social media is only good if you make it good.
Mm-hmm.
And by taking the Unity Challenge, you're making social media good. It becomes a hub of positivity, kindness, and respect. Everyone's coming together for something amazing, and by seeing the mass support on social media, it'll make more people want to join. It will make more people want to see Unity Day as important, and it will just sort of push it off to the next level in terms of support.
A lot of people who are listening to our discussion today are probably wondering the answer to the question I'm going to pose to you. What are you planning to do with your future?
With my future?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to become a lawyer. My dream is to be a Supreme Court justice. On a second note, I started a sports network at my school called GSBN. It's a little play on words.
Mm-hmm.
And we live broadcast and commentate varsity sports. So my dream is, if not a Supreme Court justice, then to be a sports commentator.
You have fun doing that?
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun. You learn a lot about what it takes in order to be in that industry. And it's just so much fun to be on the air and talk to my peers.
Mm. Good for you. I think that's a wonderful idea that you started something like that as well. We're talking with Charles Colin on our program On the Fan this morning and talking with him about this topic of bullying. You know, as I mentioned earlier in this discussion, Charles is somebody who was bullied, went through 5 years of bullying, and, you know, is in a situation now where he is seeking to turn things around, and turn things around in a huge way, not just personally, but also on a national level. The kindness message that's at the root, really, of what we're talking with him about today is expected to result in some big things starting this Wednesday on the 23rd with Unity Day and a resolution that's going to be announced by Congress. Now, is the announcement scheduled to take place on that day?
I'm not exactly sure, but I know it's sometime in the next few weeks. We're sending it around to all of our offices, trying to get some co-signers, and eventually, the more buzz we get around it, is the faster it'll pass. What I've been hearing from Senator Blumenthal's office as well as Congressman Emmer's office is it could take a week or it could take a year. It depends on how much buzz and how much noise we make of it, and through the support, it'll pass a lot faster.
Didn't ask you this earlier, but I'm going to now. What would you say is the biggest misconception or misconceptions when it comes to the topic of bullying?
I think a lot of people think that kids can just suck it up, and a lot of people just say, "Well, deal with it. Someone's being mean to you. You know, what are you going to do about it?" I think because I was so strong and I was so mentally sound, because of my experience with my being a surviving triplet, I think that gave me a lot of courage to push through it. But that's something that a lot of kids don't have. And a lot of kids don't have a permanent sense of confidence that nobody can take away from them. And that makes it extremely difficult, if impossible, for them to just simply push through it without any support.
And that whole idea of, you know, saying that to kids, you know, as they're developing, that they've got to somehow suck this up and take that on too. That it just seems like an awful lot to really be piling on them this
time. For sure. I really think that the best way to help anyone is just to be an ally, just to listen to them and to try to help them. To sit with someone that you don't usually sit with at lunch, to make sure that your peer and your classmate is okay. It's something that I never had. I mean, like I said, my faculty was sympathetic, but there was nothing that they could do. It wasn't like I didn't have friends, but the friends that I did have wouldn't want to get involved with it because they were afraid they would be a target as well. And so that really puts everyone in a really difficult situation, but it takes one strong person to make a difference in someone's life. And unfortunately, as what we've seen in our country time and time again, that one person could potentially save that person's life.
What about the role of teachers and school administrators in being part of, I guess, the solution here?
Well, of course, they have to keep their eyes open. In my situation, it was really difficult for them to find anything. They would really have to be looking hard. I mean, they would actually have to almost investigate in order to see what was going on with me. And I'm pretty sure that's probably going to be similar to a lot of other students. Not every, but a lot of others. And they just have to make sure that they're keeping an open eye and make sure that they're meeting with kids that bring it up to them. And just listening to them, just making sure that they know exactly what's going on and believe in what these children are saying.
And the whole idea of providing a comfortable enough environment for the young people to actually speak up about what they're going through.
Of course. You have to be strong enough to speak your mind and make sure that you're getting your story out there, because help is not going to come unless you tell everyone what's going on and someone can reach out. It's not always obvious when someone's getting bullied, especially if it's getting bullied on an emotional level that nobody can see. And in order for someone to reach out and give you a helping hand, you need to talk to someone about it. You need to be strong enough to come forward and say, I'm being bullied and I need your help.
And Charles, what happens when someone who is reaching out, speaking up, is not being believed?
Well, in that case, you just need to continue to advocate for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's very demoralizing. There were a few times where I wasn't believed, not by faculty, but by the kids around me. And the way that I took it was I just kept advocating for myself and kept my own way about me. And through that way, I was able to get through it with the help of my family and the teacher's support around me.
Were there things that people would say to you that indicated they didn't believe what you were saying, or was it their actions or inactions?
It was really the lack of help. The lack of caring. I mean, I think there's a lot of kids that knew that I was getting bullied, but they didn't want to intervene. They didn't want to get in the middle of it. And, I mean, it's unfortunate. I can definitely see where they're coming from. They're trying to protect themselves, but in a way, it's protecting themselves, and in a way, it's selfish. But, like I said, I would never blame anyone for not knowing what was going on because of how well it was hidden. As well as, I feel no hate for my bullies or anyone that didn't help me. I would help anyone. if they needed my help, if they called me up on the phone, even without apologizing, I would be the first person there to help them, because I truly believe in the best of people. And I truly believe that, that people change, people mature, and as they get older, they'll see the errors of their ways.
Okay, the website, again, the address for that is?
Sure. The website for my Unity Day would be unitychallenge.org. And please do visit Pacer, because they did play a big role of launching my campaign. Like I said, they coined Unity Day. They've been working on this for a very long time. Their website is pacer.org. They have lots of other things to look at, lots of other events that they run, Unity Day being specific to me.
We'll mention those websites more as we continue with Charles on our program this Sunday morning.
Radio.com. Bob Salter. Sports Radio 101.9 FM.
The Fan.
And Sports Radio 66. WFAN.
It's Sunday morning on The Fan. Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Salter. And top of the hour, it is the NFL preview that happens on The Fan. Rick Wolf has the Sports Edge along at 7:30 this morning. Morning Line at 8:30. And, of course, Melusis and Deal at 9. We're in a discussion with Charles Colin on our program. Charles has talked with us about this topic of bullying. Unity Day is this Wednesday. His website, unitychallenge.org. He's also mentioned the website for Pacer, P-A-C-E-R, pacer.org, and a number of different things that I want to touch upon in this last portion of our discussion with you, but I also said what we do is try to work in a thought or two from some of the folks listening to us, and tell you what, let's go to the phones here. 877-337-6666 is our number here at The Fan. Let's go to Bob in Little Ferry, New Jersey. Robert, good morning. Welcome to The Fan.
Good morning to you, Bob, and good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Charles, let me hit a couple of things here, discuss with you, and maybe we can figure some things out here. Number one, obviously, both boys and girls, I think, get bullied equally. So let's not just think this is a boy-on-boy thing. I think girls bully each other just as much as boys do. Now, taking that into consideration, I myself, when I was a youngster and I used to walk to school, I used to carry with me a bunch of baseball cards. All the kids did at that time. And sometimes you really had hot baseball cards, you know. Well, this one guy, which I would describe as a bully, obviously he was a little older than I am, he knew I had these cards because he used to see me flipping them, you know, in the school grounds and things like that. And he says, oh, this kid's loaded with good cards here, you know. So he was always trying to kind of corner me to get those cards and everything. Now, he never threatened me physically, but a couple of times I would walk to school a different way. So it was not to go the same route so I wouldn't run into him. But he'd find me once in a while, you know. And I think that in bullying, it isn't always physical, where you had to be threatened that somebody was going to beat you up or something. A lot of times these bullies, they just psychologically try to intimidate you. And what I did was, I guess there's two ways. We've always heard the guy, well, if you punch him in the nose, he won't bother you anymore. You know, that's always been the thing that people like to say. But I found out from my experience, even as a young guy, I was able to talk to him. And he was intimidating me, there's no question about it, but I would let it rub off me a little bit, and I would talk to him, and believe it or not, after about two or three more confrontations with him, he would actually pass me on the street and not have a conversation with me, but he'd acknowledge me by going like, yeah, how you doing? And I go, yeah, hello, how you doing? And walk by him. So I think the object I'm getting to, and perhaps you can comment on it, is that the problem here with the bullies is that if they know someone, I guess they have a reasonable life, I don't know, but when they don't know someone, they find an easy prey to intimidate, and they're not looking at the person as a person. That person is an object. And I think somehow if you could make that bully be aware that you're a person and not an object, they will look at you differently. Is that kind of a psychological approach that can work?
For sure. I absolutely agree with you, and I really admire you for standing up to standing up for yourself in the face of your bully. In a personal experience of mine is my parents were friends with another pair of parents in town, and they invited me to a Thanksgiving party. So I was the only other kid my age there, other than a kid who was bullying me in school. And so we were forced to actually have to have a conversation. And through that night, he realized that I'm not the bad person that everyone makes me out to be, that I'm actually a really cool guy. And so from there, he was actually able to realize that what he was doing was bad, and he helped me at any time he could. And so I completely agree with you that it's all about the perspective of looking at that person as another person rather than trying to better yourself through making sure that your insecurities are put together.
I think what you suggested there was that the person thinking that there's something bad about you and thus you're a victim of bullying, where I think that isn't necessarily has to be the case. The bully doesn't have to think you're bad. He just doesn't realize that you're a person that just is, it looks like you can be intimidated. And so I don't think the connection is that it's a bad person. It's just that they're taking advantage. But I think if you bring that person to think clearly and maybe suspect that, oh, my God, this person is breathing and is human and is like me in a sense, then I don't think I should bully this kid anymore. So that's, you know, I don't know. But I think that when I'll leave you with this, Charles. When the student, for instance, feels he's being bullied, and he goes to the teacher, what happens next? See, to me, it could turn out to be somewhat dangerous, because when the bully finds out that he reported, that the student reported the bully to the teacher or the principal or whatever, and the right action isn't taken, I could see where that could manifest itself into something a little more dangerous, if you know what I mean. So I think the question here is, what do you do with the bully, with the bully? What do you do with him to kind of get him to slow down?
Well, the best thing that you can do is try to use the support around you, if you have it, to push through it. If you don't have any support, the best thing to do is try to talk to your parents, to try to find someone to advocate for yourself, to try to get some fans in terms of the teachers. I know that through going to teachers and through it even got to the point where it got to some parents, it just made the whole situation worse. But in that case, with no student support, that's really the only action that you can take, and you just have to really hope that through support that everything will turn out okay for you. I think that through my platform with Unity Day, it creates a lot of support that you can see online. It creates a lot of an energy where people want to go out and show support publicly for everyone who's getting bullied. And of course, when you go over to Pacer's website, they're a huge ally that you can use in order to get through your experience.
Well, Charles, good luck with everything. I think it's a great idea, and I wish you a lot of good luck in the future with this.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, Bob, take care.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your call this morning. You want to join us? 877-337-6666 is our number here at The Fan. Now, Charles, one of the natural questions, I think, or at least it is in my mind, I always assume these are natural questions in everybody else's mind, too. And you alluded to this to some extent in the last segment of our discussion. But realistically, today, how do you feel about the individuals who bullied you?
Well, how do I feel about them? Like I said, I feel no hatred for them. If they needed my help, I would be the first person to go out and help, because like I said, I believe in the best of people. I believe that these kids aren't aren't mean. They aren't they aren't bad. I think that in their way they're lost, and I think it's up to Unity Day to be the guiding lighthouse to bring them back to what makes people people, which would be their kindness.
So you believe that there's an innate sense of kindness.
Yeah, I think that in a way you just have to kill them with kindness, and that goes a long way. It can really change someone's mindset. It can really make a bad situation into a positive one.
Mm. When we talk about this idea of Unity Day, and again, we're talking about this Wednesday, the 23rd, for Unity Day. Realistically, based on everything you've said to us thus far, Unity Day is something that you feel very passionately is needed for our country, but it really starts with the individual, doesn't it?
I think that Unity Day is as powerful as the schools and the people make it. I think that it already it's a very powerful message, and it has a very powerful theme, and all it takes is people to support it for it to boom. Another big part of Unity Day that I'm trying to expand would be trying to get a curriculum in place for the actual day of Unity Day. So when talking to congressmen and senators, they said, yes, every school has a day for bullying, and every day in a school's curriculum is precious. So what makes Unity Day stand out other than the negative versus positive? And we came up with an idea to make Unity Day to sort of implement a curriculum into the day of Unity Day. So, for example, when you go into science class, instead of learning about biology for that one day, you'd learn about something that fits the theme of unity. So you would learn about what happens in the brain when someone is cruel to someone over time, rather than when someone's kind and a healthy mind. In English class, we would read poems or different articles of the themes of Unity Day. In history, you'd learn about different enemies that came together for the good, and they put their differences aside to better themselves and the world. And so with that, on top of the seminar event, it would create a day where people are educated about why unity is needed and the importance of it, as well as giving personal experiences.
And it seems like such a natural fit with the concept of Unity Day, obviously.
For sure. I mean, I think the curriculum pushes the day off to a whole other level.
Mm-hmm.
And through education and through the school system, it can become a lot more official and a lot more powerful, because it can reach a lot more students.
How big a factor in promoting the concepts that you're talking about is this idea of access to the media?
Well, in our culture, like I've said, everyone resorts to the media. Everyone uses their phone. Everyone is checking it the minute they wake up to the last moment when they go to bed. And to have something on social media and where everyone can see it makes it extremely accessible. It creates an environment where people can't avoid it, because it's right in front of them, and it's on a major platform. And so with that, with everyone checking their social media and everyone on it all the time, it can branch out more, it can expand more, more people will know about it, and the word can spread a lot faster.
And I was actually asking, it's interesting you answered the question in the fashion you did, because I was actually asking about the role that traditional media can play in getting that message out.
In terms of what, can you be a little bit more specific?
In terms
specific?
Of what you're talking about, you're trying to get the message out, using that, things like we're doing right now, having a discussion like this.
Well, it of course, when people listen to the show and when people go on and they show their support, the media is a great way to let the people know about what's going on. When you have something that is accessible to a mass amount of people, it can really develop into something big, because more people will know about it, more people can spread the word, more people can spread their support on social media, and as a result, it can grow a lot bigger.
Charles Colin talking with us on our program. UnityChallenge.org is his website, Pacer.org, the website for Pacer, as Charles mentioned earlier in our discussion. Unity Day plans are for this Wednesday, the 23rd. Let's hope for a very successful day that day. Thank you so much for joining us on our program.
Now, Mr. Salter, can I please add something
very quickly
before I go? So I was actually very disappointed because I had no representatives from New York responded to my emails, and so I'm really trying to get as much support as I possibly can. And so if there is anyone you know or anyone that anyone listening knows that can really come out and support and help make Unity Day into something really big and amazing, please feel free to contact me c:3@gmail.com.
Charles, let's hope that certainly does happen, and certainly good luck with the efforts of Unity Day, too.
Thank you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.